Welcome to the weekend watch list. Some of you are already knee deep in your weekend. You had your turkey. You were hungover yesterday, enjoying your turkey. Maybe not. Maybe you have gas this morning like I did, but you are enjoying it. So I'm sorry it's a little late. I wanted to do it last night, but the, you know, whether tryptophan's real or not, the definite being around family and other and girlfriend's family for 10 hours is real. I've passed out on the couch right after the Saints and Falcons game. I fell right asleep. I was like all about like getting out a podcast, getting out a few blogs in the morning, getting just fucking rolling. And instead, I fell asleep and then slept late and had to deal with some work stuff. And now here you are with the weekend watch list. So this will be probably out right as the 11 a.m. games kick off, but you will have everything you need. You're set up. This is an awesome day. College basketball has actually helped this weekend because you have games going on all day. You can fire off bets. I already got my bets in for the 11 a.m. starts. I already got them also in for college basketball for the day. Just sort of see what you got. Then you got NBA in the evening, so you can bet on that. I mean, it, to me, this is the week of gambler's paradise. And you obviously can lose a lot of money that way, but you also can have a really nice day. I had a decent day with the NFL yesterday. The Lions would have made it better, those sons of bitches. But that's okay. That's all right. That's how it goes. So let's waste no more time. So the biggest game on the list, and also too, I should say this before we get going, if you are unfamiliar with the weekend watch list, if you're new to the program, how this goes is we break down the 10 best games of the weekend. We start local, and then we go national. So kind of like our own like motto, local, then national. We start local so you guys know what games you should be watching this weekend if you are a Wisconsin sports fan. If you are like, I know that the Packers play the Vikings, which we'll talk about right now, but maybe I don't know what else is going on this weekend. So you got Packers-Vikings. That is the game of the weekend, in my opinion. That is the one that you should watch no matter what. It's Packers season on the line. No big deal, right? This is a huge game for Green Bay. There's not much more to say. We previewed it on Wednesday's Daily Tap, which you can go back and listen to. But I will say that this is going to be a very tough game for the Packers, but I think it's a winnable game. I do not think Minnesota is that good. I've stood by that. I think they have bodies, but Kirk Cousins just seems to shit his pants in this primetime scenario. He's 4-12 for a reason. Granted, one of those wins is against the Green Bay Packers, but still, he just struggles, man. He gets too tight in these big moments, and this is a huge moment for the Vikings, and we'll see what the playoff implications are after the Seattle-Carolina game, which is earlier in the day. So they'll already know about that, and they'll already know what the implications of winning and losing this game means. Aaron Rodgers returning to US Bank Stadium after a terrible injury. It was suffered. Anthony Barr should be playing. All the narratives will be set up. You have the whole Jordan Rodgers drama, which, fuck Jordan Rodgers forever. That guy, just a complete cocksucker. Like, he is, you want to know what a cocksucker looks like? That's Jordan Rodgers. He is the definition of it. Fuck that guy, and if you support him, I can't support you. So, I think Rodgers has all the makings of an FU game. Kevin Holden mentioned it on The Fan on Wednesday morning. If I know Aaron Rodgers, this is a game where Aaron Rodgers just comes out and is masterful. I would not bet against Aaron Rodgers. I may even put some money down on some props. I don't usually do prop betting. I usually just look at games, but I think I'm going to dig in to see what Rodgers odds are with 4 touchdowns or Rodgers over 350 yards. I think it could be that kind of game for Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't usually do that against Minnesota. Minnesota's a team that has haunted his nightmares. And Mike Zimmer has always had an answer for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it's a little different this time around. All right, moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm going to talk about the Bucks Saturday game. They do play on Friday as well, but they do get going Saturday against the Spurs. It will be a back-to-back. It'll be Milwaukee's fourth game in 6 nights. Definitely a tough one for the Bucks, without question. But these Spurs aren't your older brother Spurs. They've been struggling. They've lost, I think, 6 of their last 7. They probably play tonight. But the Spurs have struggled. I think they get the Bulls tonight. So they probably get on the right track with playing the Bulls. But the Spurs have not been good. DeMar DeRozan has given the Bucks fits in the past. So we'll see how they do against DeMar. But Paul Gasol not playing. Oh, they have Indiana tonight. Excuse me. But that could be an issue for them. But yeah, no Paul Gasol against the Pacers tonight. He has a foot injury. We'll see if he goes against the Bucks. Paul Gasol is another guy who's given the Bucks trouble in the past, but it definitely looks like a winnable game for Milwaukee. I would assume they will be favored against the Spurs, and you know, hopefully this will be the first sort of test of their legs. I mean, they really haven't played a tight schedule. They did, I guess, on the West Coast, but this is all home. They've done okay in back-to-backs at home. Best case scenario would be, we'll talk about the Bucks Friday game, but there is a scenario where they could be well rested for this game on Saturday. Obviously, they might not have as much wear and tear as they did, were able to pump the brakes after just a shit pumping of Portland, which nobody talked about. Portland's like the best team in the West, and no one failed to mention that the Bucks dominated the game. Maybe it was Thanksgiving. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was just everybody's focus was on football and college football, but unbelievable that the Bucks got zero attention for beating the living piss out of the Portland Trailblazers. Moving to college basketball. So the two games today, it's a good little afternoon and evening thing. You got Marquette Louisville. So longtime rivalry. These guys, Marquette and Louisville have not played since the Big East days, when Louisville was in the Big East and then moved to the ACC. So this will be the first matchup between the two teams. Unfortunately, Rick Pitino will not be on the sidelines. Chris Mack will. Chris Mack, obviously an old friend for Marquette. He had been coaching at Xavier. Does, I think, give Marquette a little bit of an advantage. Wojciechowski can prepare against a team like Louisville from the fact that he knows Mack's tendencies. He knows how Mack plays defense. He's been relatively successful against Chris Mack teams. Marquette has won, split the series against Xavier the last 2 years. This is a must-win for Marquette. I know that it's late November, and you're like, is really anything a must-win? But they've failed to beat Indiana and Kansas already. So that's two losses right now that you have. If you lose to Louisville today, that would be three losses in November. And then you also have teams like Kansas State, Wisconsin, Buffalo, who's ranked right now, looming in the December section. And I think there's a couple others that are pretty good. So you have to look at that and you say, well, could Marquette could have, if they lose every big game in their non-con, they're going to basically have to win the Big East and make a compelling case that they belong in the NCAA tournament. They need to have one of these wins. If you go 3-3 in the non-con against the major opponents, that's fine. I mean, the Kansas one, you didn't expect them to win. And I think I'm going to write about this later today. Someone at WIAT's website. I feel like the Kansas loss was so weird because they had a lead early on. It was like, wow, they're playing great. And then they sort of ran out of gas, and Kansas really made a halftime adjustment. Steve Wojciechowski did not. They did not just – I think Marcus Howard got a little too hero ball-y. We'll see. I think that they have to work better on, you know, they do have a lead. How do you stomp on the throat? How do you extend that lead in the first 5 minutes? Because they definitely didn't, and they let Kansas right back into that game. And yeah, Kansas beat them by what the spread was. So you could say, well, they lost at a 9 points to Kansas. They didn't get blown out. They played with probably one of the best teams in the country. But still, it just leaves a weird feeling with the how hot they started in the first half. Maybe if it was like tied and then they lost by 9, you'd be like, all right, whatever. But I don't know. Maybe people see differently. I'm not sure. Then you have Wisconsin, Virginia. That comes in like 3 hours here. So that's at 1 o'clock. I know that a lot of people would maybe put this at number two. Maybe would put this at number one. But I just cannot. Like, this to me is not an exciting game at all. I can't get excited for it. I'm not a Badger fan. I do write about the Badgers, Bucky Caps. But so we talk about them. I'll watch the game, obviously. But I'm not that thrilled to watch this game. This is, to me, like watching old people fuck. Like, I just can't get down with Wisconsin, Virginia. It's just not my bag. I appreciate that both these teams are good. DeAndre Hunter is a really good player for Virginia. Wisconsin's going to have to find a matchup for him. But this will be a great test for the Badgers. They're only a 3.5-point dog. I think I like Virginia in that. But they're going to have a real, they're going to be some real tests. I mean, Virginia is a very good team. They're a top five team again in the country. The Badgers have been just steamrolling in the Bahamas, and they're going to need something from their bench. They got it from Kobe King last game. Kobe King, 3 3-pointers. He had 14 points in 26 minutes. That was the first time the bench has really shown signs of life, because the Virginia will try to cut off Ethan Happ. Their pack style defense will definitely frustrate Happ. Happ's going to have to do some more things. His assists, where he's been a better passer this year, that could really help. Demetric Trice has been good. Now, granted, he definitely likes to just chuck. I wouldn't say he's a full chucker, but he definitely has that chuck mentality. He had 20 shot attempts against Stanford. Trice will need to have himself a nice little game. I think Nate Reavers also has to factor in this game with probably the pack defense focused on Happ. Reavers is going to need to stretch the floor a little bit as the big man. I think the Badgers can beat Virginia, don't question about it, but they've definitely struggled. Tony Bennett has had the number against Wisconsin. He seems to have the secret sauce against the Badgers. Now, granted, Greg Gard's running less swing. He's doing a little more of his thing, less of what you've seen from Bo Ryan and Dick Bennett, and it really is sort of Gard's team now. And so we'll see if that maybe affects how Virginia plays. Also, 3 games in 3 days is always tough. I will say that these guys are well rested. Both teams haven't really dealt with a lot of, I guess the Dayton game was close for Virginia, but they've had ample time to rest. Moving to also the Badgers, but their football team, they play Minnesota. The battle for the Axe, the Badgers will try to win the Axe again. They've not given up the Axe since 2003. The Badgers need to keep winning. They're obviously not going to be in a New Year's Six Bowl. They're not going to be playing next weekend. So there is that, which is kind of disappointing. But, you know, the Wisconsin can, you know, end the year right for the seniors, and that's always a good thing. And to beat Minnesota is always a tip of the hat. The pressure on, I think, PJ Fleck will grow. Minnesota needs this win to become bowl eligible. So the Gophers definitely have some motivation in themselves to win this game, among the idea of this is maybe the most beatable Badger team that the Gophers have faced in the last 5 years. Now, do I think this is the best Gopher team that's been available in 5 years? No, Minnesota was very good a couple years ago, and then the Badgers laid the hammer on them and beat their ass, especially in the second half. It was close, but then the Badgers did prevail. So I do think that this is a closer game than expected. I wouldn't be surprised if this comes down to the fourth quarter. Jack Cohen will be going again for the Badgers, so maybe another game of Jack Cohen, he'll be feeling himself a little more. The weather should be all right. It shouldn't be that drastically cold. I like the Badgers in this game. I think they retain the Axe. They finish the season 8-4, and will head to whatever bowl they are assigned the following week. It'll probably be something like the Tax Slayer or the Citrus Bowl or something to that effect. But yeah, the Badgers will definitely be 8-4 probably at the end of this. If they do lose to Minnesota, I think then we get into that conversation of, is this one of the most disappointing Badger seasons in the last 20 years? Because I think that conversation would be had if the Badgers were to fall to the Gophers, especially at home. That definitely is a conversation, though, that we hopefully will not have on Monday's Daily Tap. Moving on to the Bucks. So the Bucks do play the Suns tonight. I can't really get that excited about the Suns. You'll get a good crowd. Suns have only won 4 games all year. They are 0-7, 0-8 on the road this year. DeAndre Ayton, we'll see how they do against him. Obviously, I think that's a great matchup for Brook Lopez. Devin Booker probably will have a good game against the Bucks. Bucks have struggled against really good three-pointers, but you know, just pedal to the metal. don't get down early like they did against the Bulls and just dominate this game so then the Bucks can get some rest for the game against the Spurs. I'm not really that concerned. It would be the Bucks' third straight win and would guarantee a winning homestand for the Bucks. And I wouldn't say that the Spurs is a house money game because I think you should beat the Spurs, but a little bit of snow tap house money becomes in that Spurs game with your 3-0. You're sitting all right, and then if you lose that one, it's not the end of the world, in my opinion. You lose to the Suns, it's pretty disappointing. So into the national landscape. So we have six local games. What a weekend for Wisconsin sports. Definitely worth keeping your TVs on. But you do have some good national games as well, mostly in college football. So the one college football game that shines above the rest is Michigan-Ohio State. You know this, 4-10. Is this Michigan's year? Michigan has not beat Ohio State since 2000. Michigan has not beat Ohio State. It's a longer winning streak for Ohio State than the Badgers have against Minnesota. That is wild. And SB Nation wrote something today about Michigan just has to win this game to sort of reestablish this rivalry and that it's not really a rivalry. And I do think there are demons somewhat in Ohio State or in Michigan's cave where they just kind of comes back. And Ohio State has caught every break. There have been close games. I do think this is the best Michigan team. And this is sort of their crowning achievement. They're at the top of that mountain where all they have to do is crown. And they know this revenge tour, what Chase Vinovich has said, and all of the things that have been brought up by Michigan. This is the final step. You know, yes, a Big Ten title does matter too, but beating Ohio State matters so much more. And they have to get this done today or on Saturday. And they have to win. And I think they can. I don't like Ohio State at all. I think defensively they are just absolute garbage. And Shea Patterson should be able to have his way. I do think because it's at Ohio State, they do get a sort of advantage there. And I do think that helps. Without question. But for Ohio State to win this game, they're going to have to jump on Michigan early, maybe get a turnover, maybe get a short field where Dwayne Haskins can make things happen. I do think Haskins is the best player, best quarterback Michigan has faced this year. So I will admit that. And they had some trouble with Brandon Winbush earlier in the year, who's Haskins is a better version of Winbush. So maybe Ohio State does have a chance. I still like Michigan. I think it's close. I may go with Michigan minus the 3.5. I'm not sure. I think if the spread moves, which I haven't looked, if the spread moves to like 5 or 6, I'm hopping all over Ohio State. I think it's right in that 4-6 range that Michigan wins. I do not like Michigan by more than a touchdown. So if that line jumps, I think I'm hopping all over Ohio State. I may even sprinkle the money line on Ohio State, even though I don't think they're going to win, just because it's a worthwhile bet, right? Moving on to back to the NFL before we wrap up with college football. Seattle, Carolina, massive game for the Packers. So you ask, who do you want to win? You have to cheer for Carolina in that game. You have to be full throat for Cam Newton. They're coming off two game losing streak. You can argue this is kind of a worst case scenario for Seattle. Carolina has lost two straight. They are in a must-win situation, knowing they have two games against the Saints that loom later this year. They have to win this football game. This has to be a win for Carolina. These two teams have played some real dandies in the past. Russell Wilson versus Cam Newton. I definitely like Carolina in this game with the points. I think Carolina Carolina can stop the run very well in this game. I think Carolina has done pretty well versus the run this season. The Seattle rushing attack, I think, will get stalled against the Panthers' stout defense and where they've made their problems have laid in the passing game. And I do think that Russell Wilson will be able to move the ball with Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett. But too much Carolina for me. I think Cam Newton should be able to do similar things that Aaron Rodgers was able to do. Get McCaffrey out into the open like they had with Aaron Jones. I love the Panthers in this game. I think the Panthers end up making a statement here. They win something like 31-17. Back to college football. These are two games today, later tonight. I wish they were during the day. Like, I hate when college football stacks games. Like, I have the day to myself. My girlfriend's out shopping, doing her Black Friday thing. And now I'm going to have to convince her, like, babe, I want to watch Washington State
and I want to watch Oklahoma, West Virginia. Washington State, battle for the Apple Cup. The Huskies have had the number of the Cougars. This is a big game for Washington State. Washington State wins this game. They are going to the Pac-12 title, and they keep an outside shot at the college football playoff. And if you want Alabama to lose, you cheer for Washington State, because I do believe that Mike Leach has what it takes to beat Nick Saban. Call me crazy, but I think that they do not play into Alabama's hands. I think Washington State can get this job done. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But they got to get it. Washington's tough, man. I think not a lot of people are talking about them because they're sort of just laying in the weeds. They had a lot of hype to start the year. They fell off. They've won some games recently. But I do like Washington State in this game. And I think Gardner Minshew kind of has his last crowning achievement. He won't get in the Heisman race, but he definitely is right on that outside. To wrap it up, Oklahoma, West Virginia, kind of an interesting end of the year matchup, right? It's not really a rivalry. Two of the best Big 12 teams fighting for a right to go to the Big 12 title game. And I don't know who I want to ride with this game. I love West Virginia. I love Dana Holgorsen. I love Will Grier. I think they have a really good team. And I look at Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has Kyler Murray. They have the offense. But can this defense really keep up with West Virginia? The sharps right now are on Oklahoma because a lot of public money's coming in on West Virginia. It's a tough read right now. I think it's going to wait. I'm going to wait till pretty much the end to make that bet because I'm not really confident in either team. I think I'm confident in the over, whatever that over is. I'm sure it's around 70 or 80. I would ride that over all day, all night. But I have no idea what I'm going to do with this game. I think this is going to be a really good football game. It's going to be a lot of points. It'll make some of you sick, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll make a pick. I'm going to go West Virginia because I do not want to see Oklahoma anywhere near the college football playoff, because whomever they would play in the college football playoff, they'd get absolutely smoked by. So the less of a Big 12 team chance, the better we are for good college football playoff games. All right, that does it. I'll be back for the Daily Tap on Monday. Murph will be in the mix tomorrow doing part of Murph's Fantasy. Make sure you check that out. And hopefully we have a good Wisconsin sports weekend. Lot to talk about on Monday. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your long weekend. Enjoy the Thanksgiving leftovers. And have a good weekend. All right, bye.